and welcome to another episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, the podcast bringing you back to those magical Christmas mornings as a kid. I am one of your hosts, Lyle Perez.
And I'm Kermit the Frog. How's it going? No, I'm less a frog, of course. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Kermit the Frog. Shh. Let's just say it's a character that sounds like Kermit the Frog. We don't want to get sued.
All right.
But I don't think they will for a little mediocre podcast like ours.
Yeah, of course. I mean, what's wrong with an impression?
Yeah, nothing at all. So, Lasse, how's it going?
Oh, pretty good, actually. I have a huge road trip behind me. I just drove to my hometown Brunsbüttel for like just a few days because I have to organize some stuff. And drive went pretty good. Just set up all my DVDs and stuff. It's good to be home again, but just until Friday, and then I have to make my drive back to Bayreuth during the night. That's gonna be fun. But yeah, anything else? It's cool. It's cool.
Nice. Sounds like you had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Driving.
Listen to podcasts all the time. Not even to music. Just podcast episodes and film reviews. It was cool.
Yeah, podcasts are the best. Especially this one. So hopefully we get some people that start taking us on road trips so they can get some Christmas goodness.
That would be so awesome.
It will. So I guess we should just introduce a topic. In this episode, we did a sitcom from the 90s. You might have heard of it. It is called Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Lasse, do you have any memories of this sitcom?
I do. I don't remember watching it as a kid, but here and there it was on TV, and then I caught an episode and I watched it, and it was always a lot of fun. Here in Germany, it was actually also quite popular. I mean, everything with Will Smith was popular, so I have memories of watching it, but not regularly, just whenever it was on, and when I was just sticking with it, and here an episode, there an episode. But it was always great, and I have great memories watching it now and then.
Yeah, so do I. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was one of those sitcoms that was on right after school. So second you got home from school, you throw your backpack behind the door and sit down, start watching TV. I remember watching this one. What else was on? Family Matters, of course. Full House was on. A lot of those good classic 90s sitcoms, so they were always on syndication when I was going out of school. So The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is one that I remember watching in my mom's room, and I would lay down on her bed and turn the TV on. Next thing you knew it, I was fast asleep.
Okay. That sounds good.
Not that it bore me, but it was more or less I had to take my naps after school because, who knows, I was a kid.
Yeah. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is not the show you watch when you want to fall asleep.
Not at all. But in this episode, we are actually going to talk about Season 1, Episode 15, Deck the Halls. And this one originally aired on December 10th, 1990. I was alive. Lasse, I believe, was not even thought of yet.
No. No, it was 2 years too early again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find something that more or less you were alive for.
But hey, that's no problem. I mean, the episodes are there for us to watch. It's not like we can't watch movies or shows that were conceived before we were conceived.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the beauty of television. It is like a little time capsule.
Yeah, that's always great. You know, watching movies from like the 50s or even like some of the first things ever put on celluloid, and then like, wow, this is history, you know. It's kind of like sometimes watching movies, it's kind of like time travel.
Oh yeah, it is in a way. So for those of you that don't know what Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is, it was an American sitcom that originally aired on the NBC network from September 10th, 1990, all the way until May 20th, 1996. The show ran for 6 seasons with a total of 148 episodes. Out of those episodes, we got 4 Christmas episodes and 2 Halloween episodes. Well, we sort of did, because the first Halloween episode they did I don't think qualifies as a Halloween episode because they spent most of their time at the mall. And there was like no Halloween decorations, no anything like that to kind of give you the sense that it was Halloween. The only thing that was Halloween about that episode was that they were throwing a Halloween party. So at the end, you did get to see some costumes, but that was it. And it was a two-parter, if I didn't mention that already.
A two-parter, Jesus. Yeah. There was also that kind of episode in the first season of King of Queens. There was like, I think you can qualify it as a Thanksgiving episode, but they spent the whole like the day before Thanksgiving at a supermarket, just buying the stuff for Thanksgiving, and then the whole episode just takes place there and all the chaos that ensues when a lot of people buy their stuff. And it was actually an episode that kind of stressed me out because it's like, oh, it must be horrible spending all these hours at the supermarket.
Yeah, it could be, I guess. I mean, but that's Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't have any relation to Thanksgiving. We don't do Thanksgiving here in Germany, I'm afraid. But I know what I mean. No matter what season, it's always stressful at the supermarket when a lot of people also go shopping.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to come down in November or something so you can celebrate Thanksgiving with us.
Oh, that would be great, actually, returning in November. That would be cool, yeah.
Yeah, why not? All right, so
yeah.
The show, it was basically about a young man who was Will Smith from Philadelphia who moved to his aunt and uncle's house in Bel Air because he got into a fight, and then that's it.
Yeah, and it's always summed up in the opening credits.
Yeah, the opening credits of this episode pretty much tells you the entire story. So if you've never heard it before, you look it up on YouTube. I'm pretty sure once the first two or three lines go in, you'll be like, oh yeah, I know this.
Yeah, it's so incredibly famous. I mean, who doesn't know this song?
I don't know. Who doesn't?
I don't know.
So, Lessa, tell us who was in the show.
Oh, there's Will Smith, who is playing Will Smith.
I have a little peeve about that. A lot of people think that Will Smith is playing Will Smith, but in reality, yes, the name is probably Will Smith, but the Will Smith, the actor, his real name is actually Willard. It's not William, as it is in the show. In the show, it's William Smith. In real life, his name is Willard Smith. So that's kind of just one of those things where everyone assumes that it's Will Smith. He's playing Will Smith, but the names are different.
Yeah, of course. I mean, just kind of like personality and attitude-wise. I mean, there's not a huge stretch between the real Will Smith and the character he plays on the show, at least at the time.
Oh, yeah, none at all.
Then we have, of course, the character of Uncle Phil, played by James Avery, and Aunt Vivian, played by Jen Hubert Witten. Then there's, of course, Carlton Banks, Will's cousin, played by Alfonso Ribeiro. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Sounds about right to me.
Okay, thanks. Then there's Hilary Banks, also the cousin, played by Karen Parsons. And then we have Ashley Banks, also the cousin, played by Tatiana M. Ali. And then, of course, we have Joffrey Butler, the butler, played by Joseph Marcel, one of the most memorable characters of the show.
Oh, yeah. He is probably, other than Will Smith, he had to have been one of my favorites.
Yeah, there was kind of a running thing with sitcoms having the incredibly funny butler character. This and the nanny were the obvious standouts.
Yeah, I guess the butler is really good to play the straight man in the comedy.
Yeah, because he has to be the straight man, literally.
Of course.
But yeah, he was always one of the things I remembered fondly from the show. I think as a young adult, I always watched the show for him.
He was one of the funniest things about that show.
He was indeed. The show, of course, it ran in Germany. It ran first like from on the 14th of November 1992, so 2 years later after it originally aired in the US, on the channel RTL Plus, which I don't think exists anymore right now when they are kind of like re-airing the show. I think it's sometimes on like the late night Disney Channel, I think, but I could be wrong about that. It sounds right, or maybe like Super RTL, I don't know, but yeah. And the German title was just Der Prinz von Bel Air, which translates to The Prince of Bel Air. So not Fresh Prince. I don't know why they left the Fresh out. No idea.
Maybe they wouldn't understand it.
I don't know. I really don't know. Like I said in previous episodes, German translations are sometimes weird like that. And there's a little trivia here. The German voice actor of Will Smith, his name is Jan Odle, and he's also actually the German voice of a lot of Seth MacFarlane characters, like Peter Griffin, and he also is the voice of Ted in the Ted movies. So he has gotten around. He has a great voice. And Joffrey the Butler, his voice actor Arne Elsholtz, he died recently, but he actually was the regular voice actor for Tom Hanks and Kevin Kline.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was one of my favorite voice actors. He was incredibly awesome. But yeah, just a little trivia here. They put a lot of effort into the translation of the jokes and everything, and so it came across as, you know, kind of like culturally accurate.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of people who have died, Uncle Phil, he actually passed away in 2013. He died of complications from open heart surgery. He was 68. Poor Uncle Phil.
Yeah, poor Uncle Phil. I mean, he was also one of the standouts because he was just a great character on the show. I mean, he was also like one of the sources of the main conflicts always, because he and Will disagreed with each other a lot, because it was just this clash of youth and age, I guess. And
yeah.
And you know, they totally represent the different
different generations.
The different generations, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah, but it seemed that Uncle Phil, he understood where Will was coming from in a lot of the episodes, because Uncle Phil he made his money. He wasn't born into money like his children, so he remembers how it was back in the day when they had no money. So it's really cool, I guess, that they did it like that, other than, you know, why they didn't put him to be born into money, and that he was just a rich uncle. But it was really cool that they did that, because they were able to do a lot of backstories, a lot of flashbacks of stuff that happened when they were poor, and how Will came to visit them when they were poor. And now that they're extremely wealthy, he's coming out to live with them, and he sees things are all different. And yeah, it's a good show. If you haven't seen it, check it out. There's, what, 6 seasons, I think I said. So you got a lot of watching to do.
Yeah, there's also a lot of great commentary in there. And it's still incredibly relevant. I mean, it's still funny, but it's also still very important as a show and what it stands for.
Yeah, and I think we'll be remiss if we didn't say, or didn't talk about, the theme song, because the theme song was so iconic. The name of the song was Yo Home to Bel Air, and it was released as a single in September 21st, 1992. Wasn't that the same time that the show came out in Germany, 1992?
It was 1992, yeah. I think it may be like, because it's weird, because it was released on November 1992, and the single came out in September. Maybe it was like they didn't hear of the show, and then this the single came out, they were like, whoa, what's the song? And then they realized, oh, there's this huge show, and then they just quickly assembled, you know, the voice actors and the marketing and everything. Okay, now the show is available from November on. Here you go, folks.
Have you seen one of the episodes in Germany? Like, in German?
Of course.
Is the theme song in German, or do they keep that in English?
Oh, no, that's in English.
Oh, okay. I was going to say they got a rapper to do it.
Yeah, unless it's like a cartoon show, they rarely translate the songs. I mean, with a cartoon show where you have kids watching who probably in Germany don't understand English yet. So, I mean, when you watch stuff like Darkwing Duck and the Gummy Bears, then you have German versions of the songs. But with sitcoms, they don't do that.
Oh, nice. Well, anyways, back to the song. It was performed by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, who is Will Smith. And the music was written by Quincy Jones, who is a extremely well-known musical composer and a musician and a producer, and along with a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, that I actually didn't know that it was that the music was by Quincy Jones, because I was like, Quincy Jones, holy crap! Because he's such a famous guy. I mean, he also collaborated with Steven Spielberg for The Color Purple. He wrote the score for that.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff. He was he also did We Are the World, which is the 80s what was it, the African Relief thing that they did the song. They got a lot of artists mm-hmm. together. He was behind all of that. And very well known. And he even did this song, which I'm pretty sure did very well, because we still recognize it today.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's go to the quick synopsis. Will realizes that Ashley has never experienced a real Christmas before, since back in Philadelphia, there would be carolers, lights, and neat decorations, while in Bel Air, there are only a few decorations, no carolers, and hardly anything in the Christmas spirit. And goes out of his way to let her have one. He decorates the inside of the house and also the outside with hundreds of lights, decor, and colors, upsetting some of the neighbors, to include Evander Holyfield. That took longer than needed. For those of you that aren't going to hear the entire thing, I did kind of mess that up a few times and I had to redo it. So you're welcome.
That's the power of editing, folks. Maybe there will be a blooper reel at the end of the episode. Who knows?
Who knows? So, Lassa, do you have anything else to say about The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the show itself?
The show itself, not really, but I have to say, I think I should say what the German title of this episode was. I mean, the English title obviously is Deck the Halls, which is fitting, totally fitting. Considering the synopsis and everything, but the German title is actually O Plastic Baum, which translates to O Plastic Tree, which is kind of like a riff on O Christmas Tree. And it's also a reference to something that happens in the show. It's just a stupid pun.
Do you watch these Christmas episodes in Germany, or do you go to the English ones?
Oh, I go to the English ones, of course, because okay. I want to be, you know, extra correct. So when they translate it, you can't be very certain that's what they said and stuff. So of course I go to the English ones. And this one actually, it's funny because Fresh Prince is currently also on Netflix. So I was able to first watch it in English and then go back and watch it in German and just see if it was there maybe something I missed. And stuff, so I was able to compare it, which was nice.
Oh, nice. So was that's kind of what I wanted to know. Was the storyline the same in the German version, or was it different?
Of course, the storyline is always the same. It's just, you know, they just say slightly different words. I mean, they're speaking in a totally different language, and sometimes they, you know, it's not exactly the same thing they're saying. Like, sometimes maybe they... I don't think it was the case in this episode, but sometimes they, in sitcoms, they switch out like a celebrity name when it's just name dropping with someone that's maybe internationally more well known. So German audiences would still find it funny. They do that sometimes.
Okay, well, that's nice to know. So yeah, we're going to move into our commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to give you a full run through of the episode. So stay tuned.
See you then.
The yummy fruity pebbles in the bowls. Oh, here comes you know who. Yabba dabba fruit, delicious dew. Oh, ho, ho, I'm hungry.
Santa, my pebbles!
Your pebbles?
'Tis the season to be sharing, Fred.
Happy holidays, pal.
Oh, Fred.
Fruity and Cocoa Pebble cereals, part of this nutritious breakfast.
And welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that wonderful Christmas commercial.
I did. It's a classic, isn't it?
It is a classic. It is one of my favorites. Like, I love that commercial. I think it was that commercial that made me love Christmas as much as I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I discovered it through through one of the Nostalgia Critic commercial episodes, because it's like I said, it's pretty iconic, and as well as the show. And it just gives you all the warm feelings a Christmas should.
Yeah. Flintstones, I think they did a Christmas special in the 90s. I might have to look that up.
Which is total bollocks.
Oh, you've seen it?
No, I don't mean like in terms of, like, I mean the pure concept of Christmas in the Flintstones.
In the Stone Age?
Jesus wasn't born yet.
Well, they also had dinosaurs and humans living together.
I know, but it irks me. I'm sorry.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if we do it sometime.
Okay.
But yeah, so let's go into the walkthrough. So the opening scene, Jeffrey is using like this sock puppet to tell tell a Christmas story, and Ashley and Will are sitting there on the couch. Ashley isn't interested, but Will, he is like all in. He is excited. He wants to hear the story. And at one point in the story, Jeffrey asks, who should he ask to make a present for Santa? Will raises his hand like he's in school. And he tells him that the reindeer on his other hand will probably know. And then Jeffrey brings out his other hand, and then there's a reindeer there, and the reindeer is saying that he makes this Christmas pun with having hooves, and Will had a big old laugh. Ashley wanted nothing to do with it, and Will is all excited, but Ashley, she's falling asleep. Jeffrey is all mad that he can't get Ashley into the Christmas spirit. He leaves and starts telling Will Jeffrey leaves, and she starts telling Will that, you know, there is no Santa. But for some reason, Will, he still believes in Santa. Like, he still believes in Santa, even though I'm not sure how old he's supposed to be at this point, 17, 18, somewhere around there. But yeah, that's, we also believe in Santa, but it's a little different, I guess.
But I don't know, maybe it's not like that he really doesn't believe in Santa. Maybe it's like he wants to keep the spirit up for her, because she, in his mind, is at an age who still should believe in Santa. And so he just wants to put her in the Christmas spirit and like be very enthusiastic about Santa Claus and everything. But who knows, maybe he still believes. I am not quite sure.
Well, that's a good point. So we go to the opening credits and then the next scene.
Okay, the next scene, Ashley is sitting on the couch and Will busts in wanting to write a letter to Santa. And then he's like, I'm writing my letter. How do you spell Vanessa Williams? Which is awesome. Oh boy. And then, yeah, he's old enough to ask for a woman for Christmas, but he still believes in Santa.
It sounded a little weird.
And Ashley tells Will that she has better things to do with her Christmas vacation than to write a silly letter. She says that she's going to learn a new word every day, which is something good, but Will finds that boring. And then Carlton walks in, saying how much he loves Christmas vacation. And Will tells Carlton that Ashley doesn't know the meaning of Christmas, and Ashley walks off. Carlton is trying to raise money for his Glee Club skiing trip. The Glee Club walks in. It's like, it's so incredibly white on so many levels.
It is. I didn't want to write that down, but it obviously is.
I mean, Carlton is kind of like the white guy in the house, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's kind of what he was supposed to be. Will is supposed to be as black as you can, and Carlton is supposed to be as white as you can. So mixing them together was just genius.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how, like, I think hanging around with so many rich white kids spoiled him so much that he acts this way.
Yeah.
I just, as soon as I watched this, I was like, I have to write this down. There's no way I'm not going to say this.
Right.
And the Glee Club starts singing, "I Saw Mummy Kissing Santa Claus." I have never heard of that song before.
You never heard that one?
No.
Oh, man.
It's from what I heard in this episode, it sounds unsettling.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe we'll do it for a bonus thing. We'll get you to listen to the song, and then we'll get your reaction to it.
Okay. That sounds good. Will doesn't know what kind of Christmas song it is. He's kind of disgusted. The Glee Club has a party to do, and they are trying to have a good Christmas set list without singing their traditional Christmas song. And they show the list to Will, and he's totally disgusted. when he describes like certain parties with like, oh yeah, and then you have like Barbara Streisand as a guest, and one of the guys like, "You've been to my parents' party." That's an awesome punchline.
That's an extremely rich person thing. I mean, you have to remember, these are supposed to be uppity, rich kids. So obviously their parents are going to have enough money to hire Barbra Streisand to go play at a Christmas party. So yeah, it's that's the joke, I guess. So the next scene, Hillary is talking on the phone. She's wanting to order chocolate-covered pretzels, and she wants to send them to Patrick Swayze. And Patrick Swayze is apparently my wife's first husband, so... So every time I hear Patrick Swayze, it makes me laugh.
Okay, that's funny. Name coincidence, I guess.
Yeah. And so she wants to send the same thing to Kevin Costner, Michelle Pfeiffer, and Sting. Do you know who all of those people are?
Of course I do.
Okay, just making sure. And Will tells her to stop playing because she doesn't know any of these famous people, but she laughs at him and walks off. Hillary is supposed to be like the rich girl. She talks very big, but is there any substance to her words? We will find out later on in the show. But Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv, they walk in and they're talking about the office Christmas party that they're about to go to. And they're talking about who the new lawyer's partners' wives are, because Uncle Phil, he is a lawyer, so he's part of a firm with partners and all that stuff. And apparently, everybody at the firm got a new wife in a year. They're getting married to their secretaries, to the coffee girls, you name it. These guys are getting married. And at one point, Vivian says that she can't keep up with all of these new girls, and... Uncle Phil says that she's going to be the only repeat at the party, so she'll be the only one that went last year as one of the wives. So Will asks if they're going to a Christmas party, and starts reminiscing about the Christmas parties back home, because he's from Philly, a very poor neighborhood, so Christmas was like a big thing over there. And and then he says that they would end with police sirens.
Yeah, it was delightfully dark.
Yeah. Will then asks if the neighborhood does anything special for Christmas, which got me thinking, do you guys do much decorating over there for the neighborhoods and stuff?
Not really with a neighborhood. We are not as much that strong of a community, kind of. And sometimes they also like go on vacation, or we do, so it's basically just a family to family thing, but we ourselves do quite a lot of decorations, not to the extent of some Americans, but it's always fun seeing like some decorations coming up, and maybe during the next few years we will also amp it up a little bit, because maybe we will be at a place where there's actually snow during the winter, and then you are much more motivated to do something nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah, around here, where I live, you can't really do much decorating because we live too far apart. There's 5 acres in between each lot, so it's dirt roads. There's no traffic, so why would you decorate? Because nobody's gonna see them.
Maybe from space.
Yeah, maybe from space, like in the last episode. But around here, they have like neighborhoods. They do special like Christmas decorations, and they get the lights to time to like our local radio station. You could hear the radio station, and with the music, the lights are blinking on and off to the music, and it's a lot of fun. So we have some of those around the neighborhood that we go. We take the kids. They look at the lights, and it's a lot of fun. But
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but in Will's neighborhood, nothing really happens. Or in the neighborhood he lives now, nothing really happens. And Will's worried that Ashley, she's never experienced a magical Christmas, and he feels bad. He wants to give her one. She's supposed to be like what, 7 or so. And
I think she's supposed to be 10. I think they say that in that episode.
All right, so she's 10. So obviously in those 10 years, she had to have had a magical Christmas because she's still a kid. And there are no good decorations or anything in the neighborhood. And Aunt Viv tells him that he can go pick up the decorations and set them up this year. Apparently they buy their decorations from a store, and the store comes in and sets everything up for them. I don't know, that's a total rich person thing, I'm assuming. And Will calls Ashley, and then they start heading to the store.
Yes, at the store, probably at a mall. I actually recognized the clerk from somewhere else.
I recognize him too. It's Taylor Negron. He wasn't the most well-known comedic actor, but I always liked everything he was in. I thought he was one of the best straight men ever in a lot of these things. Because every time you see, even in this thing, he played a straight man, but he played like a very eccentric straight man. Like he wasn't enthusiastic at all. He very straight face all the time, but the things he was saying was just ridiculous. And he says it all with that straight face that was just awesome. But sadly he passed away in 2015, and there wasn't, usually when somebody big passes away, there's all these Facebook posts, hey, did you hear this person passed, and I was probably the only one posting, hey, this guy died. Which made me sad. I wish he was bigger, because yeah, he deserved it. He was a good actor.
Yeah, I know. I don't know him from a lot of stuff, but he's very recognizable. Actually, the first thing I recognize him from, he's in the first Stuart Little movie. He also plays a kind of creepy salesman there. What a weird coincidence.
Yeah, he was also he was the pizza guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, I haven't, but I heard of it.
You have? Well, when you come down here, we're definitely going to watch that, even though it's not a Christmas movie, and we probably won't have time to do anything other than recording for the show. We're going to have to watch that movie.
Okay, that's cool.
All right, we're on it.
I didn't mention at the end of a previous scene, he did it. Will Smith broke the fourth wall.
Will Smith broke the fourth wall at this time?
Yeah, he looked at the camera. Looked right at the camera after some comment from I think Ashley, or maybe it was Aunt Viv. I am not quite sure, but they made some comment, and then he looks at the camera.
Oh, that's later on. We're still at the store.
He does it twice.
Okay.
He does it the first time in this scene.
I must have been writing down notes, because in this scene the clerk is showing off all of these weird decorations, and Will is not impressed.
Yeah. it's so awful. Like it's really weird. And after he starts showing the Cambodian Christmas tree, he says that Aunt Viv called earlier and that they were going to put the decorations up, and he gives them the decorations. He's just acting weird, and Will's not impressed, and he decides to return them to get other types of decorations.
Yeah, that was weird, because in this scene, he says, he doesn't say anything about returning the decorations. He just doesn't want them. And then later on, in one of the scenes further on, he says that he got a refund for the decorations and all that stuff. But we never see that. He basically just walks out of the store in that scene.
Yeah, and also it's funny how near the end of the scene, he makes fun of the articulate way the salesman speaks, and he's like, "It will be deeply, deeply dope."
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. That Tyler Negron, man, he good guy, but he will be missed. So next scene, Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil, they're driving in the car. They're coming back from the Christmas party. They're sitting there. They're really busy. I mean, Aunt Viv she's saying that she shouldn't have gone to the party. She's got all these papers she needs to grade. She's a teacher. And Uncle Phil's all like, "Well, I mean, there's nothing you can do in the car. So just sit back and enjoy the decorations." And they're looking at them, and they're admiring all the small little decorations that are around the neighborhood. They start talking about their childhood Christmases, and they talk about doing something special for Will because he's in a completely new environment. He's from a very, very, very poor neighborhood to one of the richest neighborhoods in America. So it could be really weird seeing that nobody's decorating the way he's used to and all that stuff. So they pull up to the house, and their house is way overdone. There's Christmas lights, reindeers, there's big, I guess they're floats, I don't know what to call them. But the house, it seemed like you can see this house from the space shuttle.
Yeah, it's actually, and how they reveal the house, you know, the camera's focused on the car, and then it kind of like pans around, and then they reveal the house, that actually almost made me skip a beat. It was so well done. I burst out laughing. It was so awesome.
Nice.
I totally didn't like, I was, even though I was kind of like expecting something, I didn't expect it to be this well done with a reveal.
Yeah, I'm surprised they did it with the actual exterior house, because that's the same exterior as the opening scene and all that stuff. So I wonder how they did that. I don't know. I don't think it was CGI, but I wonder, that's making me wonder about that house.
Yeah, not at this day and age it was CGI. I think that just shows some passion, you know, that just shows some passion from the production design.
Yeah, but how did they get that house again?
I don't know. Like, I really don't know. I mean, money buys you stuff and time.
I guess. I'm going to have to look into that. Maybe I could find somebody in the production company that would be like, "Hey, I do a Christmas podcast. I got a question about one of these Christmas shows you did."
But maybe you can find someone. It would be great.
Maybe. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Okay. Yeah. So they both walk into the house, and Ashley comes out all excited about the decorations. She's finally getting into it, and they immediately ask for Will. He comes out using a large candy cane as a walking stick. The parents aren't thrilled. Aunt Viv asks what happened to their decorations. Will says they went to the pick and grab. The phone rings. Uncle Phil goes to get it, and it's covered in tinsel. That's also his look is also great. And it's a neighbor complaining about the decorations. Uncle Phil wants to take them down. Will tries convincing Uncle Phil that people like them. The phone rings again. It's another neighbor, and Will starts fighting with him on the phone.
It's a very comical scene of Will pretty much insulting this person on the phone without even knowing who it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, the name of the store, Pick and Grab, is hilarious. When I first saw this, I died of that name, the Pick and Grab. It seems like a place that you would go and steal, the Pick and Grab.
it's like where I sell stuff for like 5 cents.
Yeah. So next scene, Jeffrey comes in and says that there are some neighbors outside the house. And Aunt Viv and Uncle Phil, they go outside to go see what the commotion's all about. Ashley thanks Jeffrey for helping put up all the decorations. And Jeffrey, he wants to keep his involvement a secret because obviously he works for the parents. The parents can't know that he did that and all that stuff. So, but he's thrilled that he could help Ashley get into the Christmas spirit by, you know, putting up the decorations and all that stuff. But he doesn't want to go against the parents' wishes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The next scene, the bank's living room is filled with neighbors complaining about the lights. And Carton suggests that he pays everyone off. Uncle Phil tells Carton to sit
that
down.
Was such a funny scene. Yeah, Carlton's all like, Dad, I see that these lights have caused, you know, quite a commotion in the neighborhood. There's only one thing we can do. You know, I think it's time for you to write a couple of checks.
Yeah, that's the way he, I think that's how he deals with all of his problems at school.
Yeah, I mean, in this episode, Carlton is such a good character that I'm really sad that there wasn't more of him in this episode.
Yeah, he was kind of underused in this. You're right.
Very underused.
They could have done much more stuff with him in this situation, but you know, I mean, maybe in another Christmas, maybe they saved it for another Christmas episode. They did several of those. So,
oh yeah, there's others. We'll see. There's others that he's a main part in the story, which is good.
Okay. Uncle Phil tells Carton to sit down. He tells Will and Ashley that he's going to tell everyone the decorations will come down as soon as possible, and Ashley asks if some of them maybe can stay, maybe they will reach a compromise. Uncle Phil tries talking to the neighbors, but they are afraid of property values. And one of them says that potential buyers might not like the Kmart look.
Kmart look. Hey, I shop at Kmart.
A lot of people do, but geez, that's harsh. I mean, they obviously don't.
Yeah, they go to that bougie store that Will was in earlier.
Yeah, exactly, the boring run. The neighbors just don't understand what's happening because they never went all out on Christmas.
Yeah, they never did. They always had, like I said, they came from money, so obviously they never had a good Christmas. I guess it was kind of, I guess, foreshadowing in a way. If Ashley were to grow up without Will being there, she probably would have turned into one of the neighbors.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey comes into the room from the front door, I'm assuming, and he tells Will that the man he spoke to on the phone is here. Will's ready to fight the guy. He's like, he's ready to go. He's like, oh, just send that chump in. And then Aunt Viv's all like, Will, you don't know who this guy is. And Will's all like, yeah, the way that he sounded on the phone, he sounded like a chump. And in walks in heavyweight champion, or former heavyweight champion, Evander Holyfield. And Will is instantly scared, and he starts to kind of backtalk his way out of the situation. And Hillary walks in, and it's a surprise that she does know famous people, because Evander Holyfield is all like, hey, Hillary, I didn't know you lived here. And then he asks why she wasn't at Bruce Willis's party, and she says that she's mad at him. And this is the other time where Will breaks the fourth wall, because he looks at the camera like, oh, Hillary really knows these people?
Yeah, totally dumbfounded. That was great. Does he do that often in the show? Because I don't quite remember that.
In this show does it quite often.
Okay.
At one point, Aunt Vivian is recasted, and they do make they make kind of a nudge to it that it's a different actress. Like, they'll go, I think it was Jazz who says, oh, so who's playing the mom this season? And it's a big thing. So they also do it at one point. Uncle Phil and Aunt Vivian, they have a child. And in one season, the child's like 1 year old. And then in the next season, the child is like 5 years old. And Will looks at the camera, and he does like an expression like, yeah, the kid grew in one season. So there's a lot of situations that they do break the fourth wall. And,
okay, I see.
But yeah, I mean, we didn't get Jazz in this episode at all, which was... Actually, I don't know if he was a character at this point. I think he comes in... Oh, no, he comes in the first episode. Yeah, he does. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I'm actually glad that Jeffrey announced the cameo, because I had no idea who that was.
You didn't know? Oh, okay.
He walks in, and I was like, who is this? I'm really not into sports and not like heavyweight and stuff like that. So I was like, I was very thankful that he actually announced him. So I was like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. So Evander Holyfield, he came over to figure out what was up with the lights, because he says that they look tacky. Hillary blames it on Will, and Ashley, she gets upset, and she says that she didn't mean for everyone to get upset, and she storms off. She runs off, and Will goes after her. She's upset. The decorations are making people mad, and that's not what she wants. And she said that that she's making people mad. There's nobody for her to play with during her Christmas break. And the doorbell rings, and it's a bunch of kids that are caroling. And Will, he opened the door. He's standing there, and the kids are singing, and he starts dancing. And Ashley comes over to see what's going on. The adult in the group says that they drive around town looking for the best decorated house. And this year they won, and they got a carol as their, you know, gift. The kids say that usually they don't come to this part of town because it's a dud, and they weren't even going to come here this year. But one of the kids, they saw the house from the freeway, so they went in. And Will invites them in for some cookies and hot chocolate. And I started thinking, where did they get all that stuff from? Because it's not like that's what they were doing from the beginning. So where did it all come from? Who knows?
They're rich. Who knows? But it's so... Will's enthusiasm about Christmas is so infectious in this. The way he interacts with the carolers is so heartwarming. It's amazing how innocent and wide-eyed he is acting in this show.
Oh, yeah.
And plus it's so sweet that he actually becomes the one who tries to teach the others Christmas. Like it's kind of unexpected, especially when you know Will Smith and his roles now. But it's incredibly nice seeing him in this.
Yeah, but Will, he can be taking it over the top a little bit. But I guess it might seem that he's doing it over the top because everyone else around him isn't in the Christmas spirit at all. So it seems like everything Will does seems way over the top, but in reality, it probably isn't.
Yeah. You're totally right.
Yeah, but we'll probably cover all that on our final thoughts. So what happens? Closing scene.
Yeah, back in the living room, the neighbors are thrilled that the lights will be coming down, and Ashley tells them that she changed her mind and wants them to stay up. She loves the lights, and so does Will and the kids that just came in. And Uncle Phil agrees and tells a story about how everyone loved Christmas and decorations as a kid. The neighbors concur and say the lights aren't so bad, and Evander says that they shouldn't fight. Yeah, they shouldn't fight. It's so barbaric.
Which so funny how he says it.
Yeah, it's of course ironic. Yeah. And one of the neighbors still isn't so thrilled. He is kind of like the Grinch of the group. And another, I was like, the message is so sweet. I agree with Uncle Phil. Nowadays, Christmas, yeah, but I think we will save it for the final thoughts. And then another neighbor walks in. And it's former president Ronald Reagan. I actually thought that was the real Reagan at first.
But How did you think that? Oh, wait, you're German. You probably don't know our presidents that well.
Yeah, but I mean, I know how he looked like, and it was a close enough impersonator, I guess. Because I actually first thought, I was like, okay, we're seriously jumping the shark right now.
Yeah.
But then I was, okay, it's an impersonator, because I watched the end credits, and then I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there's only one sitcom that I know of that actually got a former president to be on the show, and that was Home Improvement.
Oh yeah,
they got Jimmy Carter to make an appearance.
Yeah, I actually think I remember that, but I'm not quite sure. But you're right. Okay, but maybe like who knows, like. But especially for a sitcom in its first season, I was like, they didn't get Ronald Reagan on this show. Who am I kidding with this? But yeah, it's an impersonator. But in my mind, in my stupid not American German mind, it was close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah, he wanted Reagan wanted to come by to say that he loves the decorations. Because Anansi doesn't allow him to put like no fun stuff up in, at the White House, I assume. Yeah. And after that, all the neighbors are mysteriously okay with them, and Will tells everyone to gather around the TV to watch some commercials. And they start reminiscing about Christmas commercials, and that's the end.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, it got all summed up in a matter of 30 seconds, really.
Yeah, what a president can do.
Yeah, a former president just needs to walk in and say, you know what, I kind of liked it. And then everyone, if they're good Americans, they'll follow in line.
Yes, exactly.
So that's the full run through. So we're going to take another commercial break. And when we come back, we'll give you our final thoughts. So stay tuned.
Mom, Dad. Hey, it's me, Steve. This year, to avoid any confusion, I'm putting my wish list on video. All I want is a computer. Now hold on, Dad! It's just $849 for all of this. A Dell computer, speakers, monitor, 1 year of MSN internet access, an Intel Pentium 3 processor, which is awesome. I even cleared space for it. And Dell will throw in a free DVD upgrade. And Dad, I know how much you love free stuff. All you have to do is call or go online. Anywho, happy holidays, your son, Steven.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed this very special commercial, which was certainly a different kind of Christmas commercial.
It is. It was from Dell, and it was from the Dell dude. You never heard of this guy, have you?
No, I haven't. This was the first time for me.
Well, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, he was like the spokesman for the for Dell computers, and this was his actual first commercial that he did for the campaign. And cool enough, I actually interviewed this guy for an episode of Amazing Advertising, which is my other podcast talking about advertising characters. And the nicest guy, Ben Curtis, he went above and beyond to make sure that we can get this interview done, and he was awesome. So I played that commercial because it's a good Christmas commercial, plus he's a nice guy, so I threw it in there.
Oh, that's great. I have to listen to that now. It sounds cool.
Yeah, I'll send you a link later. But so yeah, let's get into our final thoughts. Lasse, what did you think of this episode?
It was really fun. I mean, to be fair, this episode only deals with the spirit of Christmas on the most superficial level you can think of, because it's not really all about. At the end it kind of does, but it's just about you know decorations and stuff like that, and that's always just the kind of superficial stuff you do around Christmas. It's still really infectious how Will acts in this episode, and the message at the end sticks, because I agree with Uncle Phil, nowadays Christmas rushes by so fast, and it's nice to honor the childhood this way. This is kind of like the moral of the episode, and there they actually bring it around to show us kind of like the true spirit of Christmas, and I think in that regard it really works, above being just a funny sitcom episode with a Christmas theme. So I guess it was a success in that sense.
Yeah, I have to agree, but in a way I think they probably could have done it a little better. I do think that a lot of the Will stuff was over the top, but in a way, like I was saying earlier, it kind of feels like it seems way over the top, but in reality it wasn't. It just seemed like everyone else around him wasn't in the spirit at all, so it seemed like everything he did was over the top. But I liked it. It was a good episode. I thought it was a lot of fun. I did enjoy the carolers at the very end. That kind of brought everything back, because it kind of went from being very wholesome, very goofy, to very serious with the neighbors complaining about these lights, that they don't want them in the neighborhood, that it's going to decrease their property value, their houses aren't going to be worth as much as they are because of this eyesore, as everyone saw it. But in Will's eyes, he was just doing it because nobody else in the neighborhood was, and he wanted to show, hey, Christmas is this. It's not all of that stuff that the guy had in his shop. That's weird. That's not what he's used to. That might be a form of Christmas, but to get that good Christmas feeling, you need to have that over-the-top stuff. You need to have the lights, the Santas, the Frosties, all that stuff to show, hey, you know, this is what Christmas should be, versus Christmas isn't just to show that you have enough money to buy expensive decorations to make you seem better than everyone else. It is going to Kmart and getting the $5 decorations to put them up on the house, because we're all supposed to be united as people during Christmas time. And it's about giving and all that stuff. So the episode just takes you on a nice roller coaster of emotions, really.
Yeah, it does. As any good sitcom episode with this topic is supposed to do. And I really enjoyed it. I hadn't seen this Christmas episode before, and it was a lot of fun. I laughed a lot, and at the end, it's kind of like a weirdly rushed ending, but the message that Uncle Phil, kind of like spells out for us, it sticks, and it really works in this context, because I experience this year after year. I get older, and every year seems to pass by quicker, and so does all the Christmas time. And it's over so fast. I never can enjoy it nowadays, and it's really sad. And so his words really meant a lot to me.
Yeah, I guess that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to do this Christmas podcast. Because it is true, Christmas does go by really fast. We're coming up on the Christmas season pretty fast. It seems like the year just started, but we're already getting into, when this episode's recorded, we're already getting into September, and pretty soon it'll be November. It'll be December, and then Christmas would be here. So the stores, the craft stores and stuff, they're putting out their Christmas stuff already. So it kind of seems like people want Christmas to be out longer. But then you get the other people that say, no, it's too early for Christmas, all of the Grinches. And I'm just like, I'm going to celebrate Christmas the whole year with this podcast, so you guys can bite it.
Yeah, that's the right attitude.
Yes. So I guess that's it for this, for the discussion on this Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode, Deck the Halls.
That's it for today. Yes, sadly, but also... We gave you a nice little rundown of a truly funny and sweet episode, and it won't be the last time.
Oh no! And you can check out the episode. I'm pretty sure it is on Hulu here in America too. It's everywhere, so it's readily available. Get the DVDs, get it on iTunes. It's there. So if you have any questions, comments, or want to suggest anything for a future show, you can send us an email at 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. That's 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. And we're also on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. Go ahead, like all of our stuff, and interact with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, please do, please do. Please visit me on Twitter at Lasse Vogt. I also have another podcast, as most of you, I think, already know, because I say it at the end of every episode, but it's called Fans About Films. It's available on SoundCloud and iTunes, and there I talk with fans about films and also with certain film composers about their work. I had people like Matthew Marcheson and also Douglas Pipes on there, who composed the music for the... now beloved 2015 Christmas horror comedy Krampus. Check that one out. I think that will put you in the Christmas spirit, if nothing else. And awesome. Have fun with the rest of our podcast, which Lyle just described, where you can find it.
Yeah, you can find it anywhere. So until next time, that's it for us, and we will see you next week.
So have a lovely rest of the evening, dear listeners, and keep the Christmas spirit up. You're going to need it during the next multitude of episodes.
Yes. And yeah, have a good night.
Good night.
So yeah, so let's move in to the quick synopsis of the show. Let me say that again. So yeah, let's go to the quick synopsis of the show. Let me say that one more time. So let's go to the... I think you we're laughing still. Okay. Shh. All right, so let's go to the quick synopsis. Will realizes that Ashley has never experienced a real Christmas before, since back in Philly, there would be carolers, lights, and neat decorations, while in Bel Air, there are only a few decorations, no carolers, and hardly anything in the Christmas spirit. And goes out of his way to let this... I did not write this synopsis, but it is all messed up. Let me try it again.